I'm Kristen McCann, and I'm here today with the Fraser Institute interviewing Professor Shackleton from England. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're in Canada.
I'm Professor of Economics and Dean of the Business School at Westminster University, and I'm over in Canada because I've been invited over by Labour Watch to talk about the experience of Britain and to see if there are any lessons that can be drawn from Canada.
So, going on with your research then, could you explain to us the strengths of the unions in the United Kingdom before Mrs. Thatcher came to be in power?
In the late 1970s, the unions in Britain were very powerful. There were about 13 million people in unions. They organised 53% of the workforce. The unions had been displayed high levels of militancy. Strike levels were high. There had been several unsuccessful attempts to reform the trade unions. Inflation was high. Our growth rate was slow. And we were widely thought of as the sick man of Europe, to use that dreadful cliche.
Yes.
And it was felt that unions were strongly implicated in this, and particularly in the 1970s, where unions had resisted the attempts of both Conservative and Labour administrations. Big strike action, 3-day weeks, the famous episode, the winter of discontent at the end of the 1970s. And I think it was widely felt that there was a need for change.
And what were the economic effects of those strong unions?
Well, strike action made it very difficult for firms to consider change, redeployment of workers. Unions were particularly strong in the public sector, which at that time included a huge nationalised industry sector, which of course was one of the things which Mrs. Thatcher changed through her privatisation policies, which is a related, of course, to her industrial relations reforms.
Yes. And why do you believe that Mrs. Thatcher was able to take on and win against such powerful and well-organized special interest?
That's a very interesting question. I think, one, it was timely because of the problems which the British economy was in, the feeling that something had to be done. But secondly, I think the Thatcher government and subsequent major administrations actually learned some lessons from previous attempts to reform the unions. And they didn't go about it in a frontal way, a big bang approach, but in a much more subtle way. And the legislation was in fact spread over many years. There were 8 major industrial relations or employment relations acts over the 18-year period of Conservative government. And what happened was they gradually, incrementally changed things. And at each stage, the idea was to present the reforms as bringing benefits to union members as well as costs to the union establishment, if you like. And I think that was something which is of relevance when you're thinking about trying to reform, say, Canada's setup.
Yes, yes. And do you think Mrs. Thatcher had the support of the majority of the Britons in doing this?
Support on particular issues, I think she did. There was quite a lot of opinion poll evidence to suggest that union members differed significantly in their views from the union leadership and were much more interested in things like secret ballots, for example, than the union leadership was. And I think, again, there are lessons there for Canada, because there is some evidence of polling evidence here that union members are not quite saying the same things as union leadership.
Yes. And were there immediate benefits to the UK economy from the changes to those labour laws, those 8 labour law changes that Mrs. Thatcher brought in?
I think there were. It's almost difficult to disentangle the effects of things. I think the initial effects were not particularly marked. I think it was a more gradual thing over time. Of course, it can't be separated either from the macroeconomic policies which the government was pursuing. Of course, Mrs. Thatcher's administration, certainly in the early stages, were known for their monetarist approach, which certainly was a short, sharp shock and led initially to a rise in unemployment as the economy found it difficult to adjust to those changes in the monetary regime. So I think the effects of the industrial relations changes were longer term in their incidence.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What were those longer term consequences, do you feel?
Well, I wonder if it wouldn't be better for me to say perhaps a word or two about what the changes were which the Thatcher government brought in industrial relations. Again, I think there are lessons here for Canada. First of all, there was a narrowing the scope of legitimate union action. There was the introduction of supervised secret ballots, an end to sympathetic strikes or secondary industrial action. There was a prescription of mass picketing, which had been a way of coercing people from crossing picket lines in the 70s and the 80s. Mass pickets, for example, in the miners' strikes of that period. Nowadays, you're only entitled to 6 pickets at the place of work, which makes a very different impact. So the second thing was that unions were made liable for the actions of their members, so that if members went out on unofficial strikes, which had been a major problem for the UK economy, then unions could be held responsible for this, and their funds were at risk from damages, claims for damages. So that was the second important thing. The third thing was the narrowing of the scope of the so-called closed shop. In 1979, 5 million workers were in closed shops, which meant that in fact they had to be union members in order to hold their jobs. And that was gradually eroded, and by 1990, the closed shop was completely abolished. No closed shops, have not been any closed shops for many years. Okay. And finally, and this goes back to something I was saying before, giving the unions back to their members was a line which was frequently plucked. And this was manifested in, for example, the requirement for secret ballots for appointing officials, term limits for officials when they'd have to go back and be re-elected, political funds, whereas previously the union executives could just vote money to support political objectives, including the support of the Labour Party. Nowadays, as a result of Thatcher reforms, any political expenditure by unions has to be sanctioned by a vote of the membership, and that vote is renewed from time to time in order to allow the unions to operate a political fund. So those were major changes, I think, which had an impact gradually over time. And I think the manifestations of this, well, first of all, union density has fallen very considerably. So from levels of, I'd say, 53%, I think, in 1970 now, there are slightly different ways of looking at the figures, but the figure is around between 25 and 30%, depending. Measure, take very close indeed to Canada's level of unionisation today, from a position where Britain had a much higher level of unionisation. Associated with that, I think there are two things which I think are very important. Firstly, industrial action, strikes, etc., have fallen to very, very, very low levels indeed. So last year, for example, in the UK, we lost 157,000 working days. When Canada lost 4.1 million, and of course Canada has a much smaller labour force than the UK. So union militancy has disappeared. Strike action is really very rare, particularly in the private sector. There is still some concentration in the public sector, but not in the private sector. Following on from that, the wage gap, the markup, if you like, of union over non-union wages has fallen. That's a significant change. But the benefits from this have been manifested in the UK. We've had 14 years of uninterrupted growth, usually at levels higher than the OECD average. We've got low unemployment, low in Canada, low than the OECD average, and we've got high employment. And the UK's GDP per head has overtaken countries like France, Italy, Sweden, and so on, who we used to lag behind. So I think there have been long-term, very considerable benefits.
Yes, it's very impressive. So do you think then that looking back, that the British people are now more supportive of the reforms that Mrs. Thatcher had implemented? Are they looking back more positively on those changes?
I think that's absolutely the case. There is no significant constituency for going back to the industrial relations regime which existed prior to the Thatcher reforms. Nobody wants the closed shop back. Nobody wants unofficial strikes back. Nobody believes that unions should be free to run their own activities without any rules laid down by the government to protect the union members. So I think there is, this is very interesting again to think about Canada's experience. It's difficult now to see how reforms could be made. It was difficult in the 1970s for the UK to see how reforms could be carried through. But once they have been, then the whole picture changes and people move on. Unions move on, because unions today in the UK, although they're much smaller in scope, are much more professional.